A new year brings a new beginning. For all my listeners that own a business, I want to tell you about FedEx Office. If you are just starting or have been running your company for generations, FedEx Office gives you the best way to print marketing materials, posters, signage, graphics, and so much more. With FedEx, creating, editing, saving, and ordering are fast and easy. We are teaming up with FedEx and Podgo to bring our listeners 30% off your next order of $100 or more at podgo.co/FedEx. That's podgo.co/FedEx for 30% off your next order. FedEx, the world on time. Hello, folks, and welcome to episode 36 of Four Quarters with Josh McKinney. I am, as always, your host, the sports editor of the Hickory Daily Record in North Carolina, Josh McKinney. And folks, today we got another great one for you. As I said last week, of course, we spotlighted Jackie Robinson as our first African-American athlete for Black History Month. Each week, the first segment of the show throughout February is going to be about a standout African-American athlete. And today, we've got Bill Russell. So here in just a moment, I'm going to have some more information on the great Bill Russell. After that, a full court press as I give my thoughts on this past Sunday's Super Bowl 55 matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. A podcast shout-out coming a little later in the show than usual. I'm going to be shouting out another podcast that I have shouted out in the past, but it's a new year and I want to give them some more love. And then we'll wrap it up. I'll be joined by my wife, Christine, once again for another entertaining fantasy draft. Happily Ever Drafter is back. And with Valentine's Day coming up this Sunday, we are going to draft couples from television and movies. You got to hear that later, folks. Can't wait to bring all of these fun, informative segments to you today on Four Quarters with Josh McKinney, but let's kick it off with that Black History Month spotlight. That's right, we're kicking things off talking about the great, legendary NBA player Bill Russell. There's been a lot of talk, even over the last few days, who the greatest winner in sports is. A lot of people say Michael Jordan. A lot of people say Tom Brady, who just won his seventh Super Bowl championship. But I want to turn our attention to a man who won 11 NBA championships in his career, Bill Russell. Here's the thing. Bill Russell only played 13 seasons in the NBA, all with the Boston Celtics. He was actually drafted by the St. Louis Hawks with the third overall pick in the 1956 draft. His draft rights were traded to Boston. He went on to spend all 13 seasons in the league with the Celtics and won 11 championships in that 13-year period. That's insane. And the thing about Bill Russell is he was not known as a huge scorer. I mean, the guy averaged 15.1 points per game in his career. He scored plenty of buckets, but was known more as a tenacious rebounder and defender. Block shots were not kept as a stat back when Russell was playing, but he most likely would have led the league in block shots several times and would be very high up on the all-time list had they been. He was a 6'10" man who dominated the paint and, like I said, tenacious rebounder and defender. Long before his NBA career, Bill Russell was actually born in Monroe, Louisiana on February 12, 1934. So his birthday's coming up here in a few days. Happy birthday, Bill Russell. He will be 87 years old in just a couple days. So happy birthday to one of the greatest winners, if not the greatest, in sports history. Now, like I said, he was born in 1934, Monroe, Louisiana. Russell's family actually moved across the country to Oakland, California when he was an elementary school age kid. And a few years later, he actually lost his mother, Katie, who was an integral part of his early life. She was a mother who really pushed him to focus on his schoolwork, and she ended up dying due to complications from the flu. After her passing, Russell really devoted himself to his studies, kind of a promise to his late mother that he would get an education and really concentrate hard on that part of his life. So he did. Shortly thereafter, Russell took up basketball, and early on, he was taller than a lot of his teammates and the people that he played with. But as can happen sometimes at a young age, he was awkward athletically. It took some time, but he ended up earning a starting spot his senior year of high school at McClemens High School there in Oakland. And then in 1952, after he finished his high school career, he tried out as a walk-on at the University of San Francisco. Impressed him enough that he received a scholarship. And back then, they had both junior varsity and varsity teams in colleges, so he played a year on JV. He then played 3 years as a varsity player. 2 of those years led San Francisco to NCAA titles. Those came back-to-back in 1955 and 56. And Russell averaged over 20 points and 20 rebounds per game. Not only that, but back then in the Olympics, the United States would use amateur players rather than professional players as they do now. So after finishing his college days, he would represent the U.S. in the Melbourne Olympics and help lead the U.S. men's basketball team to a gold medal at the 1956 Games. He was then drafted by the St. Louis Hawks. Rights were traded to the Boston Celtics, who he spent his whole career with. Russell won a league record 11 championships, and Boston won 8 straight titles between 1959 and 66. They were helped out by their 5-time NBA MVP, Mr. Bill Russell, who was also a 12-time All-Star, a 3-time All-NBA first teamer, and an 8-time All-NBA second teamer. He also was the league's rebounding champion 4 seasons. Russell averaged 15.1 points per game, but he also averaged 22.5 rebounds and 4.3 assists, so he was a very good passing big man as well. He ended up with 21,620 career rebounds, which is to this day the second most ever, behind only Wilt Chamberlain, who he went up against many times in his career, another one of the great centers in the history of the NBA. But Chamberlain did play 82 more games than Bill Russell. That's an entire season these days in the NBA. And here's something I did not realize about Bill Russell until I was doing the research. After retirement of legendary coach Red Auerbach, who coached the Celtics for many years following the 1966 season, Russell actually stepped in as a player coach for the final 3 years of his career and led the Celtics to 2 championships in those 3 years. And he became the first African-American head coach of any major U.S. sport. Did not realize that. An incredible accomplishment for Mr. Bill Russell, who, as I said, one of the greatest centers in NBA history, but also very good as a coach. Obviously, late in his career, also played for the Celtics at that time, and winning his final 2 of 11 championships in 1968 and 69. Russell was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 1975 and went on to hold several front office positions after his playing career ended. His final role was as president of basketball operations for the Sacramento Kings in the late 1980s. But outside of basketball, Russell was and is a huge supporter of the civil rights movement. He actually participated in the 1963 March on Washington for Civil Rights, which that's when Martin Luther King Jr. made his incredible I Have a Dream speech. And if you've never listened to that all the way through, it's phenomenal and something that we really need to keep in mind today for sure. And it's incredible that Russell was there and marched in that. And then also he defended Muhammad Ali when Ali refused to join the military because of his religious beliefs. And then in 2010, among all the awards and accolades that he had during his playing career and as a coach, Russell actually received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That is our Black History Month spotlight for this week. As I said, the great, the legendary Bill Russell, who will turn 87 in just a couple days. Happy birthday to you, Bill. You've done a lot in your life, not just on the basketball court, and we thank you for your efforts and everything that you continue to do to this very day. That's going to do it for the first segment. Now, let's turn our attention to Super Bowl 55 in full court press. Well, who saw that one coming, right? That's right. This past Sunday, Super Bowl 55, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pretty much wiped the floor, or the field in this case, with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bucs won 31-9 and are Super Bowl champions for the first time in nearly two decades. And as I said, who expected a blowout? Last week, if you'll recall on the show, in Fearless Forecast, I did predict that Tampa Bay would win, but I said I thought the game needed to stay in the 20s for Tampa Bay to win it. If it got in the 30s, Kansas City would win. Well, Tampa Bay scored 31, and Kansas City scored 9 points. That high-flying, high-powered, up-tempo KC offense didn't score a touchdown in this past Sunday's Super Bowl. And going into this game, as I said, I'm not a huge fan of either team. Obviously, Tampa Bay is in the Carolina Panthers division. That's my team, so it's hard to pull for them. But at the same time, I kind of want to see a new champion. And I have such respect for Tom Brady as a quarterback. The fact that he now has 7 Super Bowl championships in 10 trips to the big game and proved that he could do it outside of New England, I think that says a lot about him as a player. He was the MVP of the game, now has 5 Super Bowl MVPs, behind only Michael Jordan, who had 6 in all 6 of the Chicago Bulls championships in the 1990s. And there's talks now, who's better, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan? We're not going to debate that here. Those are 2 different sports. It's real hard to pick one over the other, to be honest. But I've heard a lot of people complaining. I know a lot of people dislike Tom Brady. And there were a lot of flags thrown in Sunday's game, most of them on the Chiefs. To be honest, there were only a few that I thought were questionable. I didn't see that the game was fixed. I saw a Tampa Bay defense that put incredible pressure on Patrick Mahomes and KC. They were double-teaming people like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Patrick Mahomes, folks, ran nearly 500 yards trying to escape from sacks. That's 500 yards. Not that go on his stats for rushing, but trying to get away from oncoming defenders. That is incredible and is more than anybody else in a game all this season in the NFL. So now I'm going to say this as well. Patrick Mahomes played his butt off, and yes, he had his most difficult game in the NFL. We're not used to seeing him and the Chiefs get beat like this since he's been there. But Todd Bowles and that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense had a great game plan. They were obviously going up against the Chiefs' offensive line, which, like I said last week, I thought could be questionable. They were missing 3 starters, so I'm sure that hurt a little bit. But the way that the Bucs got after Patrick Mahomes made it so tough on him to complete passes. He's used to a lot of things coming easy to him, and they certainly did not this past Sunday. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for the way he played, how hard he continued to play, even when that game was pretty much over there in the final minutes. He's still trying his best. Some of the ways that he was actually able to get throws off, there's only a couple guys in the league that could do that at most. He's one of them, and you maybe throw a Deshaun Watson in there, potentially an Aaron Rodgers making some of those throws, but Patrick Mahomes, some of the throws that he makes, and he hit some of his teammates in their helmets. I mean, he was putting it on them. Even from crazy arm angles and everything, potentially some of the greatest incompletions ever in the NFL. So, kudos to Patrick Mahomes, man. That guy's going to be a problem for many years to come, I would think. And he's in his mid-20s, so he's not going anywhere for a long time and is going to have to be dealt with there with the Chiefs. But Tom Brady, I think, if you don't think he is the greatest of all time at his position by this point, you're either just a hater, or you're living under a rock, or I don't know. I mean, to me, it's obvious that he's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. He's certainly the greatest I've ever seen with my own eyes. And I watched a late John Elway. I watched Peyton Manning's career. I never thought Manning was quite on the level of Brady. They had some great battles, and he's certainly a legend. He's certainly one of the greatest of all time. But you think about Peyton's final Super Bowl in his final year against my Carolina Panthers, and they pretty much carried him, that defense, to a title. He was hardly doing anything at that point. And yeah, they won the game, but was not really because of him. And yes, as I said, Tampa Bay's defense played great on Sunday night, but Tom Brady was the MVP, and he played well as well. His offensive line gave him plenty of time, and yes, they were healthy, unlike the Chiefs, but you still got to go out there and win the game. Tom went to Tampa Bay. The Bucs were the first team ever to host a Super Bowl in their own home stadium. Bruce Arians finally got his championship. The oldest coach ever to win a Super Bowl at 68. Has a largely African-American coaching staff and also a couple of women on his coaching staff. So that's awesome. Definitely got to mention that. Those people deserve respect for what they're able to do. And Todd Bowles, of course, one of the standouts as the defensive coordinator. But yeah, what a game plan by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. People are saying, oh, the flags, they're in the ref's pockets, all this garbage. I didn't see that. Kansas City did not deserve to win that game, and they did not play well enough to win it. And even with as well as Tampa Bay played, there were some drops by key receivers for Tampa Bay that cost them, and they had some chances to make a game of it, to have a chance to win the game, even if a few things here and there go differently. And it's not all the refs' fault. They were making some just boneheaded penalties. And so, man, congratulations to Tampa Bay for winning that game. Congratulations to Tom Brady for once again looking like an ageless wonder out there. And congratulations to Hickory, North Carolina's own Ryan Succop. I wrote a story about him for the Hickory Daily Record. As I said, I'm the sports editor there, and it's gotten great feedback. That was before the game, leading up to it. Hoping to get back in touch with him again for a follow-up after he's now a Super Bowl champion. He was actually the first Hickory native to play in a Super Bowl, and now is the first Hickory native to win one. He was a Mr. Irrelevant, which is the final pick in the NFL draft each season. That's what they call them. The first one to actually play in a Super Bowl and win it, because the other two that did so were not on their team's active roster. And the first Mr. Irrelevant to score in a Super Bowl, he was 4-for-4 in extra points, made a 52-yard field goal. And like I said, Tampa Bay won 31-9. People want to complain about the refs, but I didn't see a whole lot of bad calls at all. Certainly not enough to affect the outcome. And Kansas City just got outplayed. Tampa Bay just played harder and played better and played smarter. That's what the great ones do. Tom Brady is a great quarterback. And Patrick Mahomes is also a great quarterback. But Tom Brady's got quite a few years on Patrick, and I'm not saying that's the reason the game was the way it was. If roles were reversed and Tom Brady played for KC, Patrick Mahomes for Tampa Bay, we could very well be seeing Patrick Mahomes holding another Lombardi trophy right now. But he's not, and like I said, I think he's got a bright future still. We'll see how long Tom's going to play. He said he's coming back. Gronk said he's coming back after winning another title with Tom. Why wouldn't you? Try to run it back. And Coach Arians even said he's coming back at 68. And you think maybe he's ready to walk away now on top. But he said, hey, I'm going to try to win two in a row and see if we can't even do more than that. So, like I said, not a big Tampa Bay fan, but I did pick them. And was happy to see, as I said, Ryan Succop, kicker for Tampa Bay, get a Super Bowl championship. We'll see what happens next year. I mean, Kansas City already, as I've seen from ESPN, I believe, the all-too-early power rankings is number one for some reason. I never really understand why you wouldn't give that number one ranking to the team that just won it all. But hey, I'm not the one doing it. Anyway, I think Tampa Bay thoroughly outplayed Kansas City. The flags were not that big of a factor. And people who are whining about it, some of them Peyton Manning fans, let's just be honest. Some of them don't like Tom Brady. Maybe some of them are fans of other teams in the AFC East who have been bitten by Tom Brady for many years. And I'm not sitting here just trying to continually glorify Tom Brady as if he's a god. He's not. But I do think he's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, regardless of what you think of his demeanor or anything else. I'm talking about what he does in between the lines, and I think he's the best. I really do. That's my opinion. That's going to do it for Full Court Press this week. Now, it's time for a podcast shout-out. All right, so for this week's podcast shout-out, as I alluded to earlier in the episode, this is another one that I have shouted out in the past. It was actually the final episode in October of 2020. When we first gave some love to the Shooters Shoot Basketball Podcast. And you can go back and listen to that as I give kind of a little description of their show, how they do things, where you can find them. I will once again, as always, have a link in the description to the Shooter Shoot Basketball Podcast, which is part of the Blue Collar Media Group. They have a bunch of great podcasts on there, but Shooter Shoot is one of them. And actually, I had the honor of being on Shooter Shoot Basketball Podcast this past week. We did a live show on Friday night. They had me on for about 15 minutes to talk about the Charlotte Hornets, the New Orleans Pelicans, and both of those divisions, which are currently the two worst in the NBA, one in the Eastern Conference, one in the Western Conference. We also talked about where we think might be a fit for both mine and Kenneth, and it's also one of his favorite players, but I love J.J. Redick, as I've talked about on the podcast. My favorite player ever in the game of basketball, about what we thought might be a good fit for him with all the trade rumors swirling around him. Currently a member of the Pelicans, but we'll see how much longer he remains there in New Orleans. Anyway, the Shooter Shoot Basketball Podcast, they do those live shows and there's video available. They're on Facebook Live and you can find those on their Facebook page, Shooter Shoot Basketball Podcast. Also, follow them on Twitter at shooters_pod. Kenneth Cotterill does a phenomenal job, and he's a co-owner, a writing head for Blue Collar Media Group. He's a Canadian who is very passionate about many sports, including basketball, obviously. But check out his stuff. It was an honor and a privilege, as I said, to be on your show. I just wanted to give a little more shine to it. Here's we're in a new year and may have some new listeners. I hope I have some listeners come over from Kenneth's show, and I look forward to having him on in the future. Definitely will be reaching out at some point and getting his insight on likely the NBA for sure. He's a great NBA mind and enjoys other sports as well, as I said, but we'll probably have an episode focused on the NBA at some point with Kenneth and get his thoughts on some different things. Anyway, that's the podcast shout out for this week. And as I said, I'll have the link to the podcast on the Blue Collar Media Group website in the description, so look for that. They have both the videos, like I said, and the audio version of those podcasts. Follow them on Twitter, like their page on Facebook. Again, Shooter Shoot Basketball Podcast. Just giving them some love today here on Four Quarters with Josh McKinney. Now, it's the return of one of our most popular segments. Happily Ever Drafter. Now in this segment, if you haven't listened before, my wife has joined me, Christine, for several of these and is again today. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day is coming up this weekend.
Hey, chocolate day!
We did a couple of drafts last year about television and movie duos. So we did a cartoon duos draft. We did a live action duos draft.
Yep.
Those were both a lot of fun. We got a lot of feedback on social media from people. That's really one of the most fun things about doing these is seeing who people think won. Now, sometimes those people are wrong, but...
What he's saying is, y'all keep telling me that I pick the best groups.
Well, some people. I mean, yeah. But anyway, the way these work are Christine chooses the first pick.
Yep.
She is the guest for this episode, even though she's been on here many times.
Figuratively, I'm the guest.
But ladies first, and it is Valentine's Day coming up. And then after that, we kind of snake the draft. So I would pick second, and then I would also pick third because that's the beginning of the second round. So it's just basically Christine picking first, then two picks apiece until the last pick, which Christine gets as well.
Yep.
So we're going to pick today with Valentine's Day, like we said, coming up. The holiday of love, I suppose, but you should love your spouse or your significant other every day, of course, and I'm not just saying that because she's here.
The history of Valentine's Day is to celebrate, I guess, the sanctity of marriage. I know it was based on, I guess, Roman or Greek times or something like that. There was a priest who was secretly Saint Valentine or Valentine or something. He was marrying soldiers in secret because I guess the military or king or emperor or whoever kind of decreed that soldiers aren't as effective if they're married, like they're distracted. So he was secretly marrying people because he believed it was like something God told us we should do. So I'm down for it.
But yeah, like I was saying, today's draft will be drafting couples from TV and movies. So popular couples. Couples
like romantic couples.
We have enjoyed watching. Always fun. So another duo type draft, but today couples with Valentine's Day coming up. We're each going to draft 10, and then we'll put these on social media, see what everybody thinks.
Yep.
We did a draft last week with the Ultimate Meals.
Our Ultimate Meals.
And everyone who responded said Christine won that one.
Yeah.
So I have to win this draft.
No, you don't.
I really feel like...
I'm a crier, okay? Josh knows, ever since I was a teenager, like, I just have always been really calculated and, like, emotional. Like, I cry. I mean, I'm telling you, if somebody hits the right chord and note on the national anthem, I cry. So, like, I'm all about some romance movies and good relationship moments. So, buckle up, buttercup. It's time for Happily Ever Drafter. I'm going to start out and take one that's probably top of your list, and I'm going to go with Meredith Grey and Derek Shepherd from Grey's Anatomy. One of the longest running television shows, one of the most back and forth couples. People to this day are still Team Derek, and he still makes a cameo every now and again, if not to ruin any spoilers, but he made a cameo recently, so that's who my number one is.
Still one of the biggest mistakes Grey's made was killing him off.
Spoiler alert.
Well,
yeah,
you know, it's whatever. That was several years ago. But, yeah, I love that couple. Actually, when I was writing down my list, I kind of forgot about them for a while. And then I was like, how did I forget them? I came across them on a list I was looking at trying to get ideas. And I was like, man, that should have been one of the first few that I came up with, probably. Anyway, I know where I'm going to go with these first two picks. And my first one is one that was off and on throughout the entire 10 seasons of this show.
I know what you're about to say.
Which, this show to me, the greatest sitcom of all time. Really been watching a ton of reruns throughout quarantine again and really just falling in love with it all over again. And that's Friends. I'm going to go with Ross and Rachel from Friends. I know some people do not like them as a couple.
Yeah.
They're kind of toxic.
Yeah.
But
they're not, it's not exactly healthy, some of the things that they go through, but, you know, that's why they are entertaining, I guess. And they kept it going for a while.
Get together, break up, get together, break up many times. But I love them. I love Ross and Rachel together. Anyway, my number two is from another one of my favorite shows ever, and that's Corey and Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Yep.
Now, they also had some breakups throughout the show and then got back together and everything, ended up getting married in the end. But Friends and Boy Meets World, two of my favorite shows, both have love arcs between some of their main characters that kind of drive the show. Topanga was only supposed to be on like one episode of Boy Meets World, and they liked the character. And when it started out, they were young, they were in middle school, and she was weird. But they go off to high school, and it's kind of the whole thing. Topanga becomes hot and is, that's two of my biggest crushes as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Aniston and Danielle Fishel, who played Topanga.
Yep.
So those are my first two, Ross and Rachel and Corey and Topanga. Christine, you got two coming up.
My number two is going to be one from a popular and well-known sitcom. My family's a little more obsessed with it than I am, but I'm going to go with Jim and Pam from The Office.
Yep.
Everybody was just waiting for seasons, just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting on them to finally get together. And whenever they did, it was so heartwarming, and you're rooting for them, and you felt so fulfilled that their relationship finally began. Plus their wedding scene, like that Chris Brown song everybody dances down the aisle to, like they had that. I like them. I think they're sweet. My next one, I think I'm going to go with a famous couple from a movie series. And it ain't exactly like a realistic or like healthy relationship, a lot of these. They're popular, and girls in my age group fell into one of two categories.
I know where this is going.
And I would just like to formally state, I am Team Edward. We'll go with Edward Cullen and Bella from the Twilight series. I don't know what it is about vampires becoming a thing like in the last couple decades, or maybe they've been a thing for a while, but I don't know. I was real behind on the Twilight series, but man, even though Edward was kind of creepy and like almost preyed on her, I was like, Man, I can't get enough of these two. So that's who my number three is, Edward and Bella.
Good picks. They were both on my list. Jim and Pam would have been my third pick for sure.
Yeah.
So most of the ones I came up with early were like from TV shows. And then I started thinking I need to throw some movies in here. I am going to start off with Han Solo and Princess Leia.
That's a good one. They totally, like, even though she said she's a legitimate, maybe not canonized Disney princess, but like, she ain't helpless, like, and she's not fragile. She's like, she got a little spark to her. I love it.
I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan. I enjoy it. It's a good series. I know a lot of people are, so maybe I'm trying to just win this draft. But they are a really good couple, and that, yeah, it's just a great story with them.
And even in the newer installments, the newer films that have been added to the Star Wars trilogies, they still have scenes, and they still are together, and, you know, there's still a little spark there. So I like that they carry that through the decades.
Yeah, and of course, rest in peace, Carrie Fisher.
Yes, ma'am.
Who played Princess Leia. Next up, I am going to go with one that also could be considered toxic. They fought like cats and dogs. But I'm going to go with Noah and Allie from The Notebook.
You fiend. That was going to be my next pick.
I have them very high on my list. That was the first movie couple that I actually wrote down. Just because, yeah, they fought a ton. Well, but they also shared a great love for one another.
They fought a ton, but they were like, they were in love when they were young. And then their parents basically pushed them apart because of like classism and stuff. And the boy's thinking... You can relate because you used to write me letters and stuff. He wrote her letters like for years, and her parents would steal them and hide them away. Like the boy freaking bought and rebuilt a house for her. Like, come on, boy. That's some good stuff. Yeah. That's a good pick. Congrats on that one, y'all. He finna try to win. I don't know.
I'm off to a hot start.
He is on a hot start. Hot honey.
You got some good picks too.
I know. There's another couple that I'm like, I don't know if they'll make it on your list, but I got limited spaces here. I'm going to go with a couple that they're actual real people, but there's been several movies and documentaries and stuff out on them. I'm going to go with Johnny Cash and June. The movie they put out on Johnny Cash and his story, I think... Was it Joaquin Phoenix played Johnny Cash?
Yeah, and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really love that movie. Even though they had some toxic moments, and obviously the era that they were all famous and they were performers, like, there were some tough times. But, I mean, there's songs written about their love. Like, you know, I want to love like Johnny and June. Like, that's a cute reference. Like, I think in real life they truly did absolutely adore each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, they are also in movies, so that's my number, I guess, number what, four pick?
Number four, yes.
Next one, I'm going to go with another iconic film couple that, you know, very well likely could have turned into a whole series or there would be a sequel. But, you know, sometimes there just isn't enough room on the floating door for your love. And I'm going to go with Jack and Rose from Titanic.
I think most people would say there was enough room on
that
door.
There was. But maybe emotionally, there wasn't enough room. But yeah, can you imagine today, the world would be a completely different freaking place if he would have held on, or like she would have pulled him up or whatever. There could have been series. There could have been more movies and sequels and trequels and whatever the third option from sequel is. I like that they their love kind of defined the class system. I mean, and it's like historical fiction. So, yeah, the Titanic was real. Like, yes, there were people on different classes. Like, but it's cool that they were able to take something that happened in real life and kind of put this romanticized story kind of overlaid. But that's mine. What you got next?
Didn't they make a sequel to the Titanic or something? I heard like there was some other movie based on the Titanic that was coming out or has come out or something. And I was like, how did they do this? I don't know.
I mean,
I think I heard that.
There's obviously been sea explorations of the wreckage. And I think it's been marked like a landmark, or it's like a technically like a gravesite. So like it's protected now. I mean, there's been documentaries and stuff, but I don't know about like a sequel. I mean, there's only like maybe one potential way that there could be a sequel, and that's if somehow they wrote in that like Rose got pregnant from their, you know, escapades. But come on, how far are we in the future that they could pick that up? I don't know.
I could be wrong on that, but I think I read that. You read a lot of things on the internet.
Yeah, you do.
Some of them come to be and some don't.
Yep.
I might steal another one from you here. I have a feeling, because I'm going to go with the Beast and Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't have that. You know what the Beast's name is? he doesn't really have a last name. I can't remember. But the Beast's human name is Adam.
That's right.
Like,
that's
kind right. of referencing, like, man's original name, Adam. So.
Yeah, I enjoyed the live-action version they did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Luke Evans.
Auto-tuned to death.
Luke Evans, especially as Gaston, is hilarious that. But I thought everybody did a great job.
I kind of appreciated that LeFou was interested in him. I never thought about it that way, but I'm like, he didn't treat him right, but like LeFou really, really liked Gaston. So I'm like, okay, Disney, like I see you. Like I see what you're doing. Yeah, I hated how auto-tuned it was, but, you know, Stockholm Syndrome seems to be the theme of 2020 for everybody was in lockdown and stuck with your significant others, kind of, but...
Yeah, and you're right, Josh Gad is hilarious as LeFou.
I mean, come on, he's...
Olaf.
He's Olaf! He's also, the first time we saw Josh Gad, do you remember what movie we first saw him in?
I don't know, I know we saw him in The Wedding Ringer.
The Rocker. Yeah, The Rocker. Because he was like the nephew of... Who's the actor who plays Dwight Schrute?
Rainn Wilson.
He was like the Rainn Wilson's character in that movie. He was his nephew who played piano. And he was like kind of the chunky, nerdy guy who played the keyboard. That was the first time he was ever in a movie. And they had Emma Stone in that movie too. That was the first time we saw her. So yeah, Josh Gad's in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
I've liked every movie I've seen him in. Or I've liked his role. Mm-hmm. Next up is my number 6. And I am going to go with Glenn and Maggie from The Walking Dead. Unfortunately,
if you've
watched, Glenn is my favorite character, and a lot of people loved Glenn. He was kind of the heart of the show, I think. He brought a lot of humanity to that and his character. And
he was quick thinking, too. Wasn't he the first character you actually saw in the series?
Besides Rick, right?
I can't remember how the very, very, very first episode.
You see Rick because he wakes up in the hospital and walks out and sees a little zombie girl.
I think Glenn is the first supporting character you see for sure because he's like wandering around the city trying to get supplies. Like the Walking Dead original series in the first few episodes seemed like they were so long ago, but they were on my list for sure.
The first episode's amazing.
And they think and do love each other and they're like, why do we even really want to get married? Like, do we want to try and do this in this? Like, what if I lose you? That's how I feel all the time. Like, sometimes I'll just get all worked up and cry because I'll be like, I don't want Josh to die. But it's hard because you're like, I don't want to start this thing. Like, I don't want to commit and then lose you and then be like hurt for the rest of my life. So I get where they were coming from. You know, when they finally decided to get married, it was like, are you sure about this? Like, I know what it feels like.
Yep. So what you got next?
This is one that's probably not on your list at all. I mean, it was on maybe 2 of the 10 lists I looked at. I'm going to go with Lucy and Henry from the movie 50 First Dates.
That's the last one I wrote down.
So that's Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler. They're in a lot of movies together. If y'all haven't seen that movie, 50 First Dates, it's so stinking good. It's a little older, but go look at it. Go watch it. It is about a girl who was in a car accident, and she has like a memory loss problem where she can only remember the start of that morning. Like whenever she goes to sleep, it's like her brain resets, and she can only remember, like she thinks it's the same day over and over and over again. And so basically it's him trying to court her, but every day he has to like start back over. And so I just like the lengths that Adam Sandler's character Henry goes through to like try and win her affection, earn the respect of her father and brother who have done so much outstanding work to try and make her comfortable. Because imagine waking up one day and you're like 3 years in the future and you're like, wait, what are you talking about? Yeah, it'd be crazy.
I like that movie. I watched it for the first time during quarantine, actually. I'd heard about it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I love those two together on screen. Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, and kind of reminded me of another movie I really liked, which is Groundhog Day, just because he continues to be the only one that remembers every day when he wakes up. Everybody else forgets, but he falls in love with a lady in that movie, and in both of them, they learn about the other person and use that to kind of, you know, make them fall in love or whatever, and they're both really sweet, I think.
Yeah, I had Lucy and Henry on there. I guess just the thought of if that happened to me, like just imagining all the links and all the love that person went through to try and gently bring me back to reality. And eventually she starts to be able to remember him and his face, but like, which shows that her condition is getting better, but two, that he is starting to make an imprint on her life. And there's a lot of silly moments, but like, I really, really like that movie. So that's mine. Next one. I think I'm going to go with one. I hope they're on your list somewhere because I want to take it. I'm going to go with Peter Parker and Gwen from the Spider-Man series. I think from all the different Spider-Man movies, the different sequels and versions that we have, I think I'm a Gwen fan over a Mary Jane fan. Like, I'm cool with like the original one with Tobey Maguire, but like, I think the newer versions that have come have been more of my favorite. Who was the one where Emma Stone was Gwen? Who played Spider-Man then? Was it?
That was Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
And they were together in real life at the time.
That movie stabs me in the heart, especially at like the ending where, you know, there's some spoiler alert, she dies. Just the artistic things they put in there, like when he shoots his web out to try and catch her and grab her, the web looks like a hand trying to reach out and grab her. I'm like, oh, I'm crying. I'm like, I cannot handle the sadness of this. Yeah, I'm a fan of Peter Parker and Gwen. I'm Team Gwen. So that's my next one.
Yeah, they had obviously amazing chemistry being together at the time, and mm-hmm. I think that was great. It was very different from the Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst versions, even though I like those as well.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a good pick. I didn't write them down. I thought of them, though. My next pick is going to be from Parks and Recreation.
Oh, yeah.
Ben and Leslie.
Yeah.
I think they're a really cute couple. They didn't really have so much of the breakup and get back together and all that. They end up falling mm-hmm. in love, getting married. It's just a really sweet together couple. They go together so well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to go with them. And my next pick is going to be... I'll go with this one. I think this is a really sweet story in this movie, and it's about basketball, love and basketball. Yeah, I'm going to go with Quincy and Monica.
Yep, good pick.
Yeah, both basketball stars. They end up playing each other for their heart or whatever. But I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that was, I think, one of my first romance or like romantic movies. Like, I guess my mom let me watch as a kid or younger teenager because I played basketball in really the end of middle school all the way up the end of elementary school all the way up through high school before I started like marching band and dancing stuff. But that was a basketball movie my parents let me watch, and I was like, oh my God, like I was like, this is so hot. I thought it was just like the hottest thing. Okay, I guess it's me next, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, my list is dwindling. I'm going to go next with Baby and Johnny from Dirty Dancing. Filmed right here in Lake Lure, North Carolina. I'm going to go with Francis and Johnny Castle. They have kind of a weird toxic thing going on. They actually didn't really like each other on set, I think. Which, I guess that's just a sign of them being a good actor. Maybe you can tell through their acting that, like, they didn't like each other, but they had to, I don't know. There was almost this repelling quality between the two of them, but, you know.
It's weird because it almost feels like that made more chemistry on screen.
Yeah. And I've read and heard phrases of like, if you really, really love something or someone, you also really hate them too. I guess I'm still trying to figure that out because I really love Josh. But there's a lot of things that bug me about him too, but I don't hate him. Like,
next week we'll be ranking the top 5 things that we hate about each other.
No, we won't. No, we won't. Y'all ain't got time for that. But yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. It's just an iconic movie, iconic scenes, like... A lot of the music is famous because of that movie. I mean, every year they have a Dirty Dancing Festival in the summer at Lake Lure. As if Patrick Swayze or, what's the actress's name?
Jennifer Grey.
As if either one of them needed any more notoriety after their, you know, huge careers. But yeah, they both did a great job, I think. So that's my next pick.
All right. You've got number 9. All right.
I have like 5 left on mine. But one of them I'm going to leave alone because I'm leaving it for you to pick because I'm pretty sure you might. I'm going to go a little out of order because I kind of ranked mine in order of like my favorites. And as they got gone, you know, I'm taking them off my list. I think I'm going to go next with Nick and Rachel from Crazy Rich Asians. They're the 2 main characters. That movie, I mean, it was out just a few years ago, and I really appreciated, like, the Asian representation that it gave to Hollywood-produced movies. It was stinking beautiful. I loved seeing other cultures represented on film. Like, there were funny parts. I really was reading up. I need to read up on that movie more, just the production and other things with it. But basically, he is what I guess you would call, like, Singapore, like, the most eligible bachelor in Singapore. His family, like, owns a huge, I guess, hotel chain, or, like, their next thing to royalty, if you could be royal in modern times. And she's, like, a professor of, I guess it's, like, game theory or, like, board game logic or, like, something to do with that. And they've been dating and together for a long time. They live in New York. But she has no idea that he is essentially royalty. So it's their story of trying to stay together through the challenges of, like, classism and of her realizing, I'm dating, like, the most famous man in a country. So there's an ending scene that I really love. It's towards the end, rather, where the mother, you know, her potential mother-in-law, she really doesn't like her because she's not from an affluent family. She can't, I don't even think she can speak their language thoroughly, even though her parents migrated to the U.S. But she plays the mother-in-law, or potential mother-in-law, in a game of, I can't remember if it's a card game. She plays her in a card game or in some kind of, like, chess game, Chinese checkers, or it's something like that. And she basically is telling her, like, you go ahead and influence your son's life, but as you sit and you watch your grandchildren play, knowing that you drove the woman that loved him unconditionally from his life, like, you just remember me. Like, you remember the woman who sacrificed her love so that you could get what you want. And then she, like, beats her in the game and then just, like, walks off. Like, she mic drops and is like, fine, have it your way. And I was like, man, that's a powerful statement. That was a lot of words for me to try and explain one little scene. But y'all, just go watch Crazy Rich Asians. It's so daggum good, and it's so beautiful, and it's funny, and, like, it's just good stuff.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that movie from you included. My next pick is going to come from a TV show that I watched years ago, and reruns are still on now. A great African-American couple, and this is Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv.
Yeah!
Obviously, that character was played by two different actresses, mm-hmm. but the first one in particular, her and Uncle Phil, were just great together on screen. And if you haven't seen the Fresh Prince reunion, definitely watch that.
Yep.
Some great moments in it.
Will Smith and the OG Aunt Viv actually have kind of like a heart-to-heart moment where they talk about, but they've not really spoken in decades, and it's like they kind of build some bridges across some hard times that they had together, trying to work together. And that was really cool to see two very well-known, I guess, affluent people, especially in Hollywood, like, just sit down and have a conversation and, like, work out and heal from something that happened years before.
Yeah, and definitely some emotional moments as they honor James Avery. A great actor, and was also the voice of Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so famous for that as well. My final pick could have gone several ways with this, and I've been debating back and forth what I want to do, but I started this thing off with Friends. I've got to end it with Friends.
I know.
I'm going to go with Chandler and Monica, who a lot of people actually like more than Ross and Rachel as a couple.
They're a little more steady. Like, Chandler, I think the way Chandler speaks to Monica, even though, like, he made fun of her, like, the first time they ever kind of met and caused her to change her whole lifestyle. You know, she was a little chunky when she was younger. Man, like, the way he talked to her and treated her towards the later parts of the series, I was like, man, this dude's, like, legit committed. I was like, way to go.
Yeah,
like,
Chandler really grows throughout the series, and you see it a lot. As I've watched it getting older, I think I even remarked yesterday, there's, like, a flashback episode in the third season. This is a couple seasons before Chandler and Monica first get together. I'm just like, were they planning on Chandler and Monica being an end game for each other that early? Because there are these little moments of friendship where he's there for her, she's there for him, and they've never been together romantically. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I know when they first made the show, I've read Joey and Monica were actually what they were planning on going with. I think they definitely went the right way with Chandler and Monica. Love them together on screen. And just a lot of very wholesome moments between those two. Obviously, it starts with a hookup when Ross is getting ready to marry Emily, but turns into a real relationship. Some hardships they go through with unable to have children, but adoption is something that they end up going with. Just a great ending to the series as well with them. They're just great together.
I guess so. Your final pick. Yeah, my final pick. I have pretty much three left on my list here. Two of the three are from a musical or operetta. Ooh, I do not know, y'all. Let me go back. Who would you have gone with as your kind of like runner-up number 11? Who was your like next one you may have gone with if that wasn't there?
I had a couple left on my list that I was debating.
Who are some of those?
One of those is Chidi and Eleanor from The Good Place.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good idea. Dang it.
A show that we just watched last year.
Binged it.
Wish there was more of it. Four seasons just wasn't enough.
It wasn't.
But man, that was a great show.
It was.
Especially the first three seasons. The twist at the end of the first season is one of the best I've ever seen in a TV show. And not even them. I mean, the character of Michael is just great.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Ted Danson, the legendary Ted Danson. I know he's got a new show where he's playing the mayor, which looks pretty funny as well. But man, they just have a great romance, Chidi and Eleanor.
It literally supersedes time. I mean, the concept of falling in love in eternity, it supersedes time. They keep on finding each other.
Yeah, and there's a certain scene from that show, maybe at the end of the third season or something, where they're together and they're watching little highlights of their relationship. Oh my gosh, if you don't cry during that, especially if you watch the show, obviously, up till then, man, it's very sweet and great. Also considered Jake and Amy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm waiting for that show to come back. I binged it and got caught up and still kind of waiting. I guess it's probably gotten pushed back due to the pandemic.
Nine-Nine!
But I know there's probably going to be some more serious stuff coming up on that show with things that have gone on in the world since. Yep. Obviously, they're police officers. But Jake and Amy are great together and just had a baby, spoiler alert, in the final episode before we're waiting to see what's going to happen. So I had them. I even had another Parks and Rec couple, Andy and April, who are hilarious together. He's older than her, but they are just cute. They go together so well, for sure. I had one other movie couple. Well, I had two other movie couples. I had Danny and Sandy from Grease, and I had Peeta and Katniss from Hunger Games. Now,
I've read they don't have good chemistry on screen.
Yeah.
I couldn't get past the first movie. I was too shocked and like appalled. So
it's not the best. I think I put this, kind of call it an honorable mention for me.
Yeah.
Just because, they may not have the best chemistry. I think it's still a great story. I really enjoyed the series as a whole. I watched it all during quarantine. That's another one of the many movies I was able to watch and catch up. I'd seen the first one and I watched the rest of the series. But yeah, I would say Chidi and Eleanor would be my first pick that just missed my list.
Yep. I guess I'm going to go with my final pick. It's one from a musical / operetta. I'm going to go with The Phantom of the Opera and Christine Daae. People like to sing my name all the time from that show. So, my name's in a musical. Yeah, the beginning and everything of how he kind of like lures her. I mean, there's a sequel, but how he like lures her in with, his song and voice. Like, that's something straight out of a fantasy movie anyway. But They end up actually, like, there's a lot of spoilers. I'm not spoil a lot. They end up actually having a child out of their, I guess one night. She always has loved him, and like since that moment, like even though he was this weird shrouded figure always in the shadows of her life, he always loved her, thought she was beautiful, her voice was angelic, and she really loved him too. And so the ending of the sequel, Love Never Dies, is, I think it summates a lot for me, or it kind of helps me to have a little resolve to the love story and situation. But yeah, I mean, they were one that it's like one of those almost like Romeo and Juliet type things where it's like star-crossed and it's like, it's like a guilty pleasure. It's like, it's so bad, but it's good. I'm going to go, Phantom and Christine. My runners-up, I had two left. My list was not as long as Josh's, but my runners-up was Sandy and Danny from Grease. And then also Hazel and Gus from Fault in Our Stars. If you haven't seen Fault in Our Stars, you need to humble up, go watch Fault in Our Stars, because one, it will teach you to be much more thankful about your own life and your own situation. And two, you're just like, let the babies love each other. Like, you're just like, come on, y'all can do it. Like, it's just these two young teenagers dealing with some really serious health conditions who kind of like find love through all of their pain. Ooh, it's a tearjerker, but
that reminds
I think
me
it's cute.
Of another tearjerker that was really good. I think it's You Before Me is the name of
me
it.
Me Before You.
Is it not You Before Me?
I don't know. That'd be much nicer.
I thought it was because I thought it was the it was the girl from Game of Thrones and some other stuff she's been in, and the guy who's in a wheelchair that she has to take care of.
He's and they fall in love. Yeah, she just is like a companion / caretaker for him. And he's just angry at the world, just about his life and his situation. He had like a gorgeous fiance and a bright career ahead of him, well-known, wealthy family. And then he's like injured in a car accident. And now he's just mad at the world. And she kind of helps him to open up and, you know, to find love. And he still is so, so in pain. That movie's hard because you're like, why can't he just hold out? Like, why? He, I'm not going to ruin it. Y'all better go watch it. Me Before You.
Yeah, I just can't remember either his name or her name, the actor and actress, but they've both been in a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
I did forget to mention another one from my childhood, which is Zach and Kelly from Saved by the Bell.
Yep.
They also had some breakups and get back together. And then,
isn't it said that, like, they had a real, like, nowadays their relationship would not be flying because they had real toxic, like, they had a real toxic relationship. Just the way he would, like, talk to her and treat her.
Somewhat.
Like, I mean, we'll have to read about that, but.
And also Ricky and Lucy.
Oh,
from I Love Lucy, I've got to mention.
Lucy!
Those were all the ones that I had written down and a couple that I didn't even. But that's the draft.
There it is.
And we both got some good picks again. So many great TV couples and movie couples. So that's the Happily Ever Drafter. As always, we'll be posting these on social media, both Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for joining me, Christine. Happy Valentine's to you.
Thanks.
And everybody else out there, definitely take the time to spend with your significant other if you have one. If you don't, that's okay. Somebody out there for you. Keep hope alive. It's not the end of the world if you don't. So,
Josh prayed and hoped, and, you know, we've been together for 10 years now. You know, half of them count because we've been married for only half of them, but we're getting ready to hit 11 years together now, and I'm telling you, we both hoped and prayed and just kind of let go of trying to constantly control a relationship or try and attain a successful relationship on our own. And when we finally let go and just tried to better ourselves, we found each other, and we found that our whole life, I mean, we've talked about our relationship a bit, but like our whole life, we've had so many moments where we were near each other or we lived down the street. Like we grew up almost down the street from each other our whole lives. At one point, when we lived in different areas of the county, we both went to the same school. Like our families lived nearer to each other. We went to the same high school for one whole year and we didn't even know each other yet. Like my yearbook from being a freshman was his yearbook being a senior. Like we had no idea. Y'all keep holding out. It's a different day than it was, a different age as far as the dating scene. But seriously, just be true to yourself and be willing and be moldable and pliable.
Yeah, there was definitely a time when I didn't know if I was ever going to find anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I did, and it's hard to imagine life without her now.
Yep.
As we've been together for so many years.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to Four Quarters with Josh McKinney this week. As I mentioned, our Facebook and Twitter, you can find the show on Facebook, Four Quarters with Josh McKinney, real simple, or follow me on Twitter at SuperJMac32. Thanks again for tuning in this week to the show. I've really enjoyed the episodes we've been able to put together so far this year. Paul Bird interview last week was great. If you haven't listened to it, definitely give it a listen. Not just if you're a baseball fan, he has some great stories about himself and his life and his personal Christian testimony as well. He's just a great guy, and very happy to have had him. Very happy to have had you on, Christine.
Thank you.
Here today for this draft. Always enjoy these. We'll have another show for you coming up next week. But until then, stay safe. Enjoy your Valentine's Day weekend. We'll be back with you next week on
Four Quarters with Josh McKinney and sometimes Christine.